Take your Bibles, please. Turn to the book of 1 Peter chapter 2. 1 Peter chapter 2. We'll read verses 13 through 19 together. We'll read this passage responsively. 1 Peter chapter 2, verses 13 through 19. First Peter chapter 2, verses 13 through 19. Again, we'll read this passage responsibly. Submit yourselves to every ordinance of man for the Lord's sake, whether it be to the king as supreme, or unto governors as unto them that are sent by him for the punishment of evildoers, and for the praise of them that do well. For so is the will of God, that with well-doing ye may put to silence the ignorance of foolish men. As free, and not using your liberty for a cloak of maliciousness, but as the servants of God, honor all men. Love the brotherhood, fear God, honor the king. Servants, be subject to your masters with all fear, not only the good and gentle, but also the forward. And let's finish on verse 19 together. Ready? For this is thankworthy, if a man for conscience toward God endure grief, suffering wrongly. And let's pray. Father, thank you so much for what you do for us. Thank you for our church. Thank you for your people that are here. Lord, it's just exciting to be here, just to feel your presence. And God, I pray that you'd fill our preacher with your power. Fill us with your power as we listen. Change our hearts and our lives so that we could go out and do that which you want us to do and reach more people for you, please. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated.
I'm going to ask you to listen on purpose this morning. The sermon that I preached this morning and the sermon that I preached tonight, I feel are timely in regard to our country, what the Bible teaches, and things that we need to learn and understand. I called the sermon this morning, Let Freedom Ring. Let Freedom Ring. But if I may, let me talk to you for a moment. Only in America can a pizza get to your house faster than an ambulance. Only in America are there handicapped parking places in front of the skating rink. Only in America do drugstores make the sick walk all the way to the back of the store to get their prescriptions, while healthy people can buy their cigarettes at the front. Only in America do people order double cheeseburgers, large fries with a Diet Coke. Only in America do banks leave both doors unlocked and open and then chain the ink pen to the counter. Only in America do we leave cars worth thousands of dollars in the driveway and then put our useless junk in the garage to protect it. You feel the Holy Spirit here, Mrs. Owens? I looked over and she was saying, keep going, keep going. Only in America do we use answering machines to screen calls and then have call waiting so we won't miss a call from someone we didn't want to talk to in the first place. Only in America do we buy hot dogs in packages of 10 and the buns come in packages of 8. Only in America do we use the word politics to describe the process so well. Poli, P-O-L-I, in Latin means many. Ticks means blood-sucking creatures. Only in America do they have drive-up ATM machines with Braille lettering. Only in America can a homeless combat veteran live in a cardboard box while a draft dodger lives in the White House in years gone by. You can see the direction of the sermon. It's my privilege growing up. I listened to a great champion of the faith of years gone by the name of Lester Roloff preach. But I do remember when the government, the state government of Texas, put him in prison, taking his freedom away from him because he was doing what God told him to do. There is a book called Pilgrim's Progress that was written by a man by the name of Bunyan. Bunyan was imprisoned for the preaching of the Word of God. Moses had to say to Pharaoh and his government, "Let my people go." John the Baptist was arrested and beheaded by a government leader because John the Baptist preached against adultery, no matter who was committing it. Jesus was arrested and put on trial by government leaders. They called him a rabble-rouser, and all he was doing was exercising his God-given right to be God. You understand the government arrested God? Pretty cocky, aren't they?
Yeah.
I am now an anarchist. I believe this. I believe the position of President of the United States is one of the loftiest positions on the face of the earth. I think there is a certain respect to the position. Doesn't always mean that I respect the person, but I respect the position. It doesn't always mean that I respect the principles of the person. But I'm careful. I'm not for anarchy. I love my country. I call the sermon, "Let Freedom Ring." You need to listen to what I tell you this morning. Most of you believe everything that you hear printed by the news and what you hear on the news. I think you better believe what the Bible says. That's what you need to learn. That's what you need to pay attention to. I'll read to you again the passage of Scripture that we read together. I really need your help this morning. The sermon I must build line upon line, precept upon precept. I'm not entertaining you a lot. I'll probably not run and scream, but the timely nature of this sermon is extreme. You've got to learn what I'm going to teach you. And again, I wish the whole United States of America could hear what I'm preaching this morning and this evening. Let freedom ring. The Bible says in 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 13 through 19, "Submitting yourselves to every ordinance of man for the Lord's sake, whether it be to the king as supreme or unto governors, as unto them that are sent by him for the punishment of evildoers, for the praise of them that do well. For so is the will of God, that with well-doing ye may put to silence the ignorance of foolish men, as free, and not using your liberty for a cloak of maliciousness, but as servants of God, honor all men, love the brotherhood, fear God, honor the king. Servants, be subject to your masters with all fear, not only to the good and gentle, but also to the froward. For this is thankworthy if a man for conscience toward God endure grief, suffering wrongfully." We see the word "free" here. It says, as free, using your liberty for a cloak of maliciousness. And it says, not using your liberty for a cloak of maliciousness. Now, the word "free" and the word "liberty" are awful lot alike. They're somewhat the very same word. Samuel Francis Smith wrote the words to the song "America, O'er My Country, 'Tis of Thee." I want you to notice as I read to you the words of this song how often the word "free," "freedom," or "liberty" are used in this song. Verse 1, "My country, 'tis of thee, sweet land of liberty, of thee I sing. Land where my father died, land of the pilgrim's pride, from every mountainside let freedom ring." Twice in verse number 1 we see liberty or freedom. Verse number 2, "My native country thee, land of the noble free, thy name I love. I love thy rocks and rills, the woods and templed hills. My heart with rapture thrills like that above." Verse number 2, we see the word "free." Verse number 3, "Let music swell the breeze and ring from all the trees, sweet freedom's song. Let mortal tongues awake, let all that breathe partake, let rocks their silence break, the sound prolong." We see the word "freedom" in verse number 3. Verse number 4, "Our Father's God to thee, author of liberty, to thee we sing. Long may our land be bright with freedom's holy light. Protect us by thy might, great God, our King." There we see liberty and freedom in verse number 4. The founding of our country, the foundation of our country had to do with this thing called freedom. The only thing is, the term freedom has been corrupted through the years. freedom today with the government's definition is not the same as the freedom that our forefathers had gained for us by coming to this country. In November of 1861, after a visit to a Union Army camp, Julia Ward Howe wrote the poem that came known as the Battle Hymn of the Republic. It's an American favorite. Toward the end of the song, she penned these words, "As he died to make men holy, let us die to make men what? Free. While God is marching on." Thomas Jefferson said in his inaugural address of year 1801, "You should understand," this is a quote, "you should understand what I deem the essential principles of our government, equal and exact justice to all men of whatsoever state or persuasion, religious or political, the arrangement of all abuses of the bar of the public reason, freedom of religion, freedom of press, and freedom of person under the protection of the habeas corpus, and trial by jury impartially selected." We use the word freedom so often, but the word freedom in our understanding today is not the same word freedom that was used over 200 years ago in the founding of our country. What is this freedom for which our forefathers died? What is this freedom for which our forefathers escaped to America to find? And others have escaped ruthless dictatorships to find this thing called freedom. Not only was America founded on this idea of freedom, there are others who have escaped dictatorial countries to find this thing called freedom. What is the freedom for which we experienced the Revolutionary War? Has America lost sight of what freedom really is? We sing, "Let freedom ring," but our liberty bell of understanding freedom has been confused and silenced in many cases. We sing, "In my country, 'tis of thee," in verse number 4, "Our Father God to thee, author of liberty." That word liberty there is equal to the word freedom. In other words, it says God's the one that decided what liberty is. God's the one that decided what freedom was. "Our Father God to thee, author of liberty, great God our King." God is our King, and He is our ultimate leader. Now, if you'll stay with me this morning, I would like to talk to you about the subject of "Let Freedom Ring." Let's keep the interruptions minimal. You pay attention on purpose. Don't talk to anyone. Don't frustrate the concentration of the morning. I'm not gonna baby you today. If you love your country and if you love your God, you need to sit up and pay attention to what's said in this pulpit today. It can make all the difference in your perception of what goes on in your country, and even greater than that, what God wants you to know and understand. Number one, let me say, God created all men to be free. Every man has a God-given right to be free. But you have to understand that God is the creator of all things. Revelation chapter 4, verse number 11 says, "Thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power, for Thou hast created all things, and for Thy pleasure they are and were created." Every country on the face of this earth needs to remember that country was created by God. By God. See, God created man to be free. But God is the creator of all things. Hey, God is the owner of all things. Psalm chapter 24, verse number 1, it says, "The earth is the Lord's, and the fullness thereof, the world, and they that dwell therein." I don't care what anybody says. Everything in the United States of America ultimately belongs to God. You say, "Well, I've got a deed and title." Well, God's got a deed and title to you, buddy. You better stop and realize something. The one who created you has right to you, and He owns you, and He owns everything in this country. If we want to understand any concept of life, our understanding then must begin with God. Proverbs chapter 1, verse number 7 says, "The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and instruction." If you and I want to understand freedom, then we go to the one who created freedom, and that is God. If we want to understand our God-given right to be free, we will need to go to God's book of explanations. You say, what's that? That's God's book, the Holy Bible. So number one, I say to you, God created all men to be free. Number two, freedom is not the right to do anything that you want to do. Freedom is not the right to do anything you want to do. That's where many of you have been corrupted by what people say rather than believing what God says. The average American thinks that freedom is the right to do anything that they want to do. The Bible says in Proverbs chapter 29, verse number 15, the rod of reproof give wisdom, but if a child left to himself, bring his mother to shame. Anybody left to themselves will bring shame. You say, why do you say that? Because I said, number two, freedom is not the right to do anything you want to do. That's your soured, corrupted definition of freedom. Never are we left to ourselves. That always produces shame. In our text, we were reading earlier from 1 Peter chapter 2, verse number 16. Please stay with me. Where it says, as free, and not using your liberty for a cloak of maliciousness, but as the servants of God. Notice the phrase here, not using your liberty for a cloak of maliciousness. That word liberty there again, it means that's the word that we would use for the word freedom. It's teaching here in 1 Peter 2:16, it's teaching that nobody is free to hurt somebody else.
Right.
Hear what it said? Not using your liberty or your freedom for a cloak of maliciousness. You say, well, I'm free. I can do whatever I want. And God said, well, you're not free to do anything you want. You're not free to go hurt somebody else. That's not what freedom is. That's what it means by saying not using your liberty as an excuse or a cloak of maliciousness. Hey, freedom has limitations. We said, according to who? According to God. Liberty means freedom. It's teaching that nobody is free to hurt somebody else. Have you ever heard someone say, your freedom stops where my nose starts? When America, folks, and some of you, and you'll remember this, when America was spread out all over the place, and America they were in the farmlands or out on the range, every man protected his own property and he protected his own freedom. There was a time in America when it had to be like that. When Americans started congregating into cities and towns, they chose a few to protect everybody in town. That's where they organized having a police department, and that's where the sheriff came from, and that's what the government was all about. People were all spread out, taking care of themselves. When they got together in cities, they had to pick someone to help keep everybody safe. The United States government was basically formed to do three things. The government was formed to protect our bodies.
Right.
We asked some people to get together to help us keep our bodies safe. The United States government was number two formed to help protect our property.
Yes.
And then number three to help protect our freedom. So when we have a government, the government's purpose was to protect our body or our person, protect our property, and to protect our freedom. That's why we have a military. That military is to protect our freedom. We have police so they protect our bodies and to help protect our property. Anything else was not really the original intent of the United States government. You look at our forefathers, nowhere did it say the government was going to get involved in all the social aspects of people's lives. They were supposed to keep our country free, keep our bodies safe, and keep our property safe. That was their purpose. Your freedom is not to infringe on my freedom, and my freedom is not to infringe on your freedom. Hey, and if you're not careful in a society, a government begins to do what a government's not supposed to do. I am not free to endanger you. You are not free to endanger me. Now remember, I said number one, God created all men to be free. I said number two, and that's what we're working on right now, freedom is not the right to do anything that you want to do. The Bible teaches freedom has limitations. You don't have the right to do anything to me, and I don't have the right to do anything to you, and you don't have the right to take or abuse my property, and I don't have the right to take or abuse your property, and you don't have the right to take my freedom, and I don't have the right to take your freedom. And when we formed the government said, we're going to protect the body, we're going to protect the property, and we're going to protect the freedom. You look at what our forefathers did in the origination of the paperwork and the structure of this country, and you'll find that's exactly the original intent of government. Americans wrongly think that their freedom gives them the right to do anything they want to do. Tell me if it is not corrupted to that point. Americans think, well, I live in a free country. I can do anything I want. You've forgotten. You're not free. You belong to God. And there is a higher power. You don't have the freedom to drink and drive. You say, why? That endangers me. That's against the law. You don't have the freedom to go downtown Martinsburg and hunt for that big buck. Why? I've seen you shoot. You're endangering everybody but the buck. You understand it? There are laws and expectations and guidelines set up because you cannot use your freedom as a maliciousness to hurt me. So, God created all men to be free. Secondly, freedom is not the right to do anything that you want to do. Number three, our God-given freedom is the privilege to do what is right to do. You hear that? Our God-given freedom is the privilege to do what is right to do, opposed to doing anything we want to do. I said number three, our God-given freedom is the privilege to do what is right to do. Hey, you say, what is right to do? It is right to serve God. When our forefathers came to America and fought for their freedom, they fought for religious freedom. They fought for the right to serve their God. You can't hide that. They will try to erase some of that from history. They're trying to rewrite the history books as we speak. And they have been rewriting history books. You're not supposed to rewrite history. You're just supposed to study the truth of what happened. It's like we don't need to rewrite the Bible. You better just believe what's there. Everybody's always trying to improve on the truth. Hey, whatever happened in history was the truth. We even learn and learn from it. Whatever God wrote is the truth. Stop fiddling with it. You can't improve on it. Our forefathers came here and they fought for the right to serve their God. Freedom is the right to do what is right. Let me say it again. Freedom is the right to do what is right. Freedom is not the right to do what is wrong. You say, says who? God. You think you can go to Webster's dictionary and figure out what freedom is. You better go to God's dictionary and figure out what freedom is. Freedom is the right to do right. Freedom is not the right to do anything you want to do, but it is the right to do anything you're supposed to do. And if you don't believe it, you can even get far enough along in this corrupt society. You don't do what's right, they'll put you in jail. They will take your freedom if you do wrong enough. The only problem is in our society, right and wrong is no longer being determined by a holy God. So God drew the line of right and wrong a long time before our society drew it. I said freedom is not the right to do anything you want, but it's the right to do anything you're supposed to do. Again, remember 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 16. Listen to it. As free and not using your liberty for a cloak of maliciousness, but as the servants of God. Notice it said there, God said, I give you freedom. You may not do anything with that freedom, but I give you freedom as the servants of God. Your freedom is given to you by God and is to be used for God and good. Freedom was never given for someone to do bad. God did not give freedom to do bad. God gave freedom to do good. God did not give freedom to go the wrong way. He gave freedom to go the right way. Stay with me now. I said, number one, God created all men to be free. I said, number two, freedom is not the right to do anything you want to do. I said, number three, our God-given freedom is the privilege to do what is right to do. Number four, since my freedom is the privilege to do what is right to do, I must have a way to determine what is right to do. I said, number four, since my freedom is the privilege to do what is right to do, I must have a way to determine then what is right to do. Now I've got to figure out, what's the difference between right and wrong? What determines the difference between good and bad? What determines the difference between obedience and disobedience? Well, let's look at the options. Remember, since my freedom is the privilege to do what is right to do, I must have a way to determine then what is right to do. Let's look at the options. How are we going to decide the difference between right and wrong, good and bad, obedience or disobedience? Well, I can decide myself what is right. But here's the problem. Judges 17:6 says, in those days there was no king in Israel, but every man did that which was right in his own eyes. Now, this verse comes from an era in biblical history where they were doing what was right in their own eyes. And if you know anything about that part of history, it was chaos, anarchy, and sinful confusion.
Yes, sir.
Because everybody was doing that which was right in their own eyes. You see, you and I can lie to ourselves. I don't want me to decide what's right and wrong. That's pretty risky. I know me. I know what I am. Are you honest enough with you to say it'd be better if somebody more holy than you decided what was right and wrong instead of you deciding? Don't you think we ought to raise the bar a little higher than your morality? Don't you think the expectation ought to be a little higher than you and how pure you are and how clean you are and how smart you are and how honest you are and how good you are? Don't you think we better find somebody better than you to determine what is right and wrong? I think so. But we could leave the definition or the determination of right and wrong to me, the individual. But that's not God's plan. Hey, what's another option of the determining of right and wrong? Since my freedom is the privilege to do right, I then must find the basis on which I will determine what is right. Well, I better not trust me because I know me. How about another individual could decide, another human being? Well, this would turn into a thing called dictatorship. This then eliminates my freedom. If I let Hitler tell me what is right and wrong, I guess there's a corrupting factor there too, huh? If I let Mussolini tell me what is right and wrong, I guess me letting somebody else tell me what is right and wrong, I have traded me, who is flawed, for him, who is flawed. That's where Saddam Hussein comes in. And other evil leaders, they set themselves up and they say, I will be the standard. Oh, not a chaotic mess of a whole bunch of people doing what they want to do, but one person forcing everybody else to do what that one person thinks is best. They are made of the same dirt me and you are made of. They're going to, and that's where your evil dictators come from. So, you know what I've got to do? I've got to figure this thing out. I have a God-given right to be free. That freedom is for me to do whatever is right, but I've got to figure out what is right. Maybe we can let every man decide for himself. The only problem is, that's a dangerous thing. Maybe we can let one person who seems to be superior in leadership, maybe superior in intellect, maybe they have a winsome personality. Maybe everybody just likes them. Maybe we can let them do it, but that would become a dictatorship and they too are tainted. What else could we do? Maybe we could pick a group of human beings and they could choose what is right. If we found enough human beings that all felt the same way about the same thing, there's only one problem. Every one of those human beings are tainted.
Yes, sir.
The only problem is every one of those human beings are subject to the same passions I am if I decide more for myself, or the dictator, if he decides for himself. You're still pulling the people from the same pool of potential, which is a sinful, fallen man. This is what they call humanism, though. Where the humans all get together and with our logic and with our understanding, this is what's right and wrong. This is the way we see it. Nowhere in the Bible does it tell you to do it the way you see it. It tells you to do it the way God sees it. This is humanism, which will ultimately develop into communism. Man is not to decide what is best for man. You say, why? Because the Bible says, as it is written, there is none righteous, no, not one. That word righteous, there, you might be able to apply it by saying they're not right all the time. You know what we really need to do? I can't trust me. I can't trust you. We can't trust each other all pulled together. We've got to find somebody that knows everything, that's never sinned, that's never done wrong, that's never gone the wrong way, that is pure, holy, 100% of the time. I just can't find anybody except one. Maybe then the thing to do is to let God tell us what is right and wrong. That is God's plan. Remember, since my freedom is the privilege to do what is right, I must figure out what is right. And I can't trust me to determine what is right and wrong. No, at least not 100% of the time. I can't turn it over to you because you're just like me. We could get a group of us together, but the problem is we're all just like me and just like you. So we've got to find somebody that's different than me and you. Then we must let them determine what is right and wrong. I found one. It is the God of the universe. I found one. It's Jesus. Hey, could God do this? Absolutely, He could. And He did. God could tell me the difference between right and wrong. This is God's plan. This is the correct way. This is a foolproof way. God's Word tells me what's right. God's Word is breathed, inspired by God, 2 Timothy 3:16. The Bible says in Hebrews 4:12, for the Word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit, of the joints and the marrow, and is the discerner of the thoughts and the intents of the heart. The Bible says about God's Word Psalm chapter 12, verse number 6, it was purified 7 times. I found a way. I have something that is purified 7 times. I found the Word of God to help me do what? To know what is right. Why? I'm free to do anything that's right.
Yes, sir.
Freedom means that I am free to do what God says is right. Did you know God's right 100% of the time?
Yes.
Did you know that every time you disagree with God, you lose? He's right. You're wrong. Freedom means I am free to do what God says I'm supposed to do. Freedom means I am free to do what God says is right to do. The government in America was not created to keep me from doing what God says, but to keep me free so I can do what God says. I'll say it again. The government in America was not created to keep me from doing what God says, but to keep me free so I can do what God says. That was the original intent. Let me go on. Let me remind you what we said thus far. Are y'all still with me? Wake up. We need to stand up and do some calisthenics. You're going to miss it. And you know what? You're going to be sucked right into all the liberalism in this country, and you're going to mess yourself up. Pay attention. Wake up. Slap yourself. Slap somebody. Slap somebody. All right. I said, number one, God created all men to be free. I said, number two, freedom is not the right to do anything you want to do. I said, number three, our God-given freedom is the privilege to do what is right to do. I said, number four, since freedom is the privilege to do what is right, then I must have a way of determining what is right. I can't trust me. I can't trust you. We can't trust a collective body of human beings. But we did find somebody that wrote a perfect book that is a perfect God. We can trust Him. Number five. Real freedom, then, is my right to obey God and His Word. Real freedom is my right to obey God and His Word. John 8:32 says, and ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. Jesus is the truth. The Bible is the truth. You see, real freedom is my right to obey God and obey His Word. The Bible then becomes my final authority of life.
Yes.
The Bible's my final authority in life. That's why I fight for the King James Bible. Hey, I fight for its belief. I fight for the preservation and inspiration and perfection. We must have a perfect source of guidance about what is right so we may exercise our freedom accordingly.
Yes.
We've got to believe there's something out there that can tell us 100% of the time the difference between right and wrong. We can't find it anywhere else. It's the only book God ever wrote. Americans want to be free to do anything they want. That's not what freedom is. Now, that's what you're taught freedom is, but that's not what God says freedom is. Freedom is not the right to do anything you want to do. Freedom is the right to do what God said you're allowed to do. God didn't give the human race to say, go do what you want. So what? That was never God's plan. Man, they go against God, but that was never God's plan. That's not how it's supposed to be done. Americans want to be free to do anything they want to do. That's not what freedom is. Americans want to be free to do anything the government says they can. Yeah, it's a funny thing. There are people out there that say, well, I'm not going to have God tell me what to do. Then they'll let the government tell them what to do. They'll follow every rule of the government. There are people in here, I'll say, God told you to tithe. And you'll say, I'm not going to do it. The government will tax you. And you'll say, well, we can do that. I don't have anybody tell me what to do with my money. I'll tell you what, though. You don't pay your taxes, you'll go to jail. But if God came and put you in jail for stealing the tithe, you say, this isn't fair. You better take a good look at who you trust the most. Americans want to be free so they can do anything the government says is right or wrong. That's not freedom, folks. By the way, this is deeper and farther reaching. This book was written long before the United States of America was ever formed. Freedom is my right to obey God and obey His Word. Real freedom is of God, for God, and by God. And you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. Let me tell you something. There may be somebody that is sitting captive in a communist prison today, but if they are a born-again Christian, they are more free behind the bars than those that are out, that are lost and on their way to hell. Because if you are in Christ Jesus, you've got a freedom that other people will never experience unless they get born again. You'll go to heaven someday where we'll do everything that God said and live in a perfect society. You say, how will that be ran? It's a kingdom. The only way you can have a pure kingdom is to have a pure king. We use a democracy. Why? Not the safest way of doing things. But when you get to heaven, it'll be a kingdom. You say, what am I going to do there? What you're told. 100% of the time. Y'all with me? So, since my freedom is the privilege to do what is right, I must have a way to determine right and wrong. Real freedom is my right to obey God and His Word. Next. Number 5. Man, nor government, has the right to take away God's freedom or God's property. Biggest mistake made in the era of the human life of Jesus Christ was when somebody decided they had the power to arrest God. And how would you like to face God on that one? There's the one, Dad. He's the one to put the cuffs on me. God's work should not be restricted by man's government if God's given the work a certain freedom. If God tells us to go soul winning, folks, we must obey God. God's word determines what is right and wrong, not man. Remember, freedom is the right to do what God wants us to do. You know, if God commands you and I to tithe, then the government comes along and tells you, we're not going to allow you to tithe. The government is wrong. They're in rebellion to God. They have no right to tell a Christian not to tithe. They do it all the time. You get deep enough into the welfare system, they will tell you you may not tithe. It's unjustifiable use of your income. If God tells us to go soul winning, we're to obey God. Remember, freedom is the right to do what God wants us to do. If a government or a person tells us we can't go soul winning, then they have taken away our freedom. They have actually taken away our freedom. If God's word is not protected, then freedom is not protected. You say, why do you make such a big deal about the Bible? Because if we sell out on the Bible, we no longer have a pure basis of right and wrong. If we don't have a basis of right and wrong, we lose our freedom, folks.
Yeah. Good.
I thank God for the people in the military who have given their lives to keep us free. Thank God for them. I remember I was a teenage boy. You cut me, I bleed red, white, and blue. I don't recommend young men to go join the military. I think here's what happened. I was a young man. I loved America. I'd been called to preach. We were in the Grenada incident. I think that under the Ronald Reagan era, is that right? Ronald Reagan, when we were at war with Grenada. I remember I wanted so bad to pick up a gun and go fight for my country. I grew up, even the generation I grew up in, you still loved America. It wasn't wrong to love America. Still, we sang and put our hand on our heart and said, one nation under God. We didn't apologize for it because a bunch of Muslims won't let us do it anymore. I remember one day, pulled my car up to the recruiter's office. My daddy had said, now son, he knew the turmoil I was under. He said, son, you can do more for America by being a soul winner and living right and being a preacher and trying to turn this country back to God than you will by going to war over there. I was struggling with that. I pulled my car into recruiter station. I put my hand on the door handle. I said, I'm going to do this. And God spoke to my heart. God's never spoken to me out loud verbally. Had he, I'd had a heart attack and died. But to my heart, he said, Jeff Owens, fight for the Word of God.
Yes.
Fight the battle on this land so we can send soldiers to another land. But you fight the battle of the Word of God.
Yes.
I closed my door, I drove home, and that's what I've done ever since.
Yes.
Because you see, if I do not protect the purity of the Word of God, I do not have a basis of right and wrong.
Yes.
If I do not have a strict, pure, clean basis of right and wrong, I lose my freedom. I believe the devil would like us not to love the Word of God and stand for it and fight for it and stand unwavering for it. Why? If he can steal my Word of God's purity, he can steal my freedom and clap my country. I'm a patriot. I'm a patriot for a land that is fairer than day.
Yes.
And by faith, I can see it afar. And I happen to believe the God of that land has blessed another land called the United States of America. And the answer to America is not in the White House, it's in the church house. And I think we need our freedom. So we're going to have to stand and fight for God's word. And I'm not putting my tail between my legs and running. We've got to stand. We've got to do what's right. We live in a society, though, that they think it is up to them to dictate to us what is right and wrong instead of God dictating. You look at our forefathers, they had a great respect for the Word of God. They knew what they were doing. Everybody now says, well, did they really know what they were saying? What did they mean by that? If my mom said, you either stop that, I'm going to whip the snot out of you, boy, I did not need an interpreter. I never went to my father and said, what do you think she really means by that? Man or government has a right to take away God's freedom or God's property. Churches are under attack for obeying God's word. There are churches that are doing what God told them to do, and they're being attacked. Let me say this. This church belongs to God. It's God's property. Do you know that churches are not supposed to be taxed?
Right.
You say, why? It's God's.
Right. Yes.
How you tax God? You see what a big deal that is? Mm-hmm. When a group of human beings think to you they can get together and force God to do something, they're not real bright.
Right.
Hey. Let me apply this to you a little more carefully. Although, this is your whole life, what I'm telling you right now. It's your whole life. The country in which you grew up. You had dreams and you had visions of the future. You better lock into what you're being taught from the Word of God today. By the way, though, you know, this church belongs to God. It's God's property. Have you forgotten?
so are you.
Amen.
You're God's property. You're not to do with your body what you want. You're to do with your body what God wants. You sit there and you said, somebody better not be taxing God. Telling God what to do. Who do they think they are, you said? Well, who do you think you are?
Good.
What do you do with what belongs to God?
Good.
What do you do with your tithe?
Good.
What do you do with your mind? What do you do with your body?
Good.
A minute ago, you said, that's it. Let's stand up for the old red, white, and blue. You better stand up for what's right.
Yeah.
To yourself.
Right.
1 Corinthians 6, verse 18, 19, and 20 says, flee fornication. Every sin that a man doth is without the body. But he that committeth fornication sinneth against his own body. What, know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which ye have of God, and ye are not your own, for ye are bought with a price. Therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. You say anybody that attacks that, a true church, anybody that does that, that is a sin that they would dare do anything like that and think that they have the right to dictate God's work. You better be careful dictating the work that God's given you to do. God's to dictate what you're to do. Let me give you a few quick observations. First of all, I think Americans have a misconception of freedom, and the misconception of freedom is destroying our country.
Yes,
you all have to get used to it. I've been straightforward for a long time. I know you don't hear it much anymore. You turn the television on, you won't hear it. But I believe the truth is the truth.
Yes.
America's misconception of freedom is destroying our country, and
yes.
Sodomy.
Right.
Abortion.
Yes.
We're all free. We're allowed to kill babies. I'm very sorry. That is not what the Bible teaches.
Right.
Drunkenness.
Yes.
Adultery.
Right.
Witchcraft. Do you know there was a time in America if you commit adultery, you'd go to jail? I think it's still on the law books, I think.
Yes, sir.
Why would that be on the law books? Because it's in the law book! That's where this whole thing started. Man got too big for his own human britches. The man began to think, I know what I'm doing. I'll just take this thing over. You look at the shape our country's in today. You look at how far we've gone. Somebody said to me once, said, Brother, why don't you preach like that? You're going to make people mad. I wouldn't want to start doing that now, would I? Say, you preach like that, nobody will come to your church. I don't know where we'd put anybody else. We're just lightening up the seating capacity so we have room for some people to care. When a people, listen, when a people lose their faith in God, they put their faith in something else. Have you noticed what's happened in America? When people lose their faith in God, they put their faith in something else. We started in America with the faith in God. That is Jehovah God, not the God of your choice, the God of His choice. One God. We started in America with faith in God. America has lost her faith in God.
Yes.
Now they put their faith in themselves, humanism, or the government.
Right. That's right.
Socialism.
Yes.
Humanism is you do what you want. Socialism, a bunch of us idiots get together, and we decide what everybody does.
Right. Right.
We're still all idiots.
Right.
You say, you call me an idiot? I'm calling me an idiot. Now I'm smarter than you. And I'm more humble than you, too. Compared to God, we're all idiots. We've all gone astray. We're all undone. So, we started in America with the faith in God. America lost her faith in God. Now America puts their faith in themselves or the government, which is humanism or socialism. This causes then the eventual loss of true freedom. You see why? Now we're leaving God out of the mix.
Where did God come in? Somebody perfect had to tell us the difference between right and wrong because we were given freedom to do what is right. Well, how do we know what is right? We started out knowing you can't trust the human race. Who are we going to trust? God. Now we don't have faith in God anymore. You say, what's the answer? We better get everybody saved that we can, keep everybody out of hell that we can, so they'll put their faith back in God and get their eyes off of a system and on to a Savior.
As America rejects God, we reject real freedom.
Yes.
The further from God we get, the more freedom we lose.
Right.
Rejecting God's word leads to captivity, not to freedom.
Right.
America didn't create freedom. God did. Did you know that the Bible's more important than the Bill of Rights? And I respect the Bill of Rights.
Right.
I want the Ten Commandments hung back in the courthouses. But let me tell you something. The Bill of Rights is more important. The Bill of Rights is not more important than the Bible.
Right.
When we took the Bible out of the public school, we just started a terrible deterioration.
Yes, sir.
I'd be for him putting it back in, as long as it was the right one.
Right.
America does not have the right to redefine freedom. Most people believe the government's definition of freedom is better than God's, and I don't. I believe God's definition is the origin of freedom.
Right.
God's Bible, that's the real Constitution for Christians. And I respect the Constitution of the United States of America. I don't think they intended for it to be written and then changed all the time either.
Right.
You let the liberals of our day do what they want. You know that you're free to obey God. What a privilege. Did you know communists don't have that freedom?
Right.
In a totally communistic country, you are not allowed to worship God. You can be put to death or imprisoned. Why? Communism doesn't believe in freedom.
Right.
God teaches freedom. But there's a danger in it. Now you need to exercise the freedom that you've been given.
Good.
You hurt your country when you don't obey God.
Yes.
Why? When you don't obey God, you're not exercising the freedom God gave you. Let me say this, and I'm done. Those of you that are paying attention are weary. The others just can't wait to get to McDonald's and enjoy the freedom that somebody else bought for them. Finally, number 8, freedom is not free. Freedom is not free. Folks, freedom always comes at a price. America's freedom cost the blood and the lives of American patriots and soldiers. You're in a church where a pastor respects the military that's kept this country and other countries free. If you're a veteran in any way, shape, or form, stand up for a moment. All of you men, ladies alike, stand up for a second. Let me say to you, I salute you. I salute you. God bless you. Thank you for keeping our country free. You can have a seat. Though I'm sure many of you do not understand exactly what it was you were accomplishing, you were risking your life and limb and the shedding of your blood, but I'm going to tell you something. God knew exactly what was happening. You were out there fighting to keep a country free so a country had the right to do what was right to do. Not what man thinks is right, but what God thinks is right. I stand in a pulpit today because fallen soldiers gave their blood to give me the right to stand and say, God's right, God's right, God's right. The Bible's true. Thank God for you. Thank God for you. But freedom is not free.
Good.
We had a freedom in America and also had a Revolutionary War.
Right.
There was a civil war that was fought over someone's freedom.
Right.
I think we ought to fight to stay free.
Yes.
Fight to stay free. I'm not a pacifist. You say, well, I think we ought to love everybody. You can thank God some soldier gave you the right to think that. And I think we ought to love everybody, but we need to love God and freedom. There's a price to pay if you're going to have freedom. As Christians, our spiritual freedom cost God His Son, the ultimate warrior. The ultimate soldier. Jesus Christ, King. He sacrificed His homeland. He came to a distant soil.
He fought the ultimate opponent, Satan. He fought for the freedom of God's people, God's creation. He shed his blood.
Yes.
He died. One difference in him and those that died in World War II, Jesus resurrected immediately.
Yes.
Anybody that died in World War II that trusted that Christ, the death of Jesus made it so they too will resurrect.
Yes.
Freedom is not free. The freedom that we have experienced in America was paid for by somebody else. And those of you that are liberal cowards, the only way you have the right to behave the way you do in your liberality is because somebody else had courage and backbone and died for you. If you're saved, somebody else did that for you.
Right.
You can't save yourself.
Right.
The ultimate soldier, Jesus,
yeah,
came and fought a battle and had victory, yeah, over sin and death. Freedom is not free. I call the sermon, Let Freedom Ring. You see, God created all men to be free. Freedom is not the right to do anything that you want to do. You see, our God-given freedom is a privilege to do anything that is right to do. And since my freedom is the privilege to do what is right, I must then have a way to determine what is right. The only surefire method is to have someone perfect determine that, and that is our God and my God's book. You see, real freedom is my right to obey God and His Word. Man, nor government, nor any system has the right to take away God's freedom or God's property, which that's what you are, that's what I am, that's what this church is. And I say finally, freedom is not free. You say, I'd like to get saved and go to heaven someday, but I don't think I could do what it takes. All you have to do is have faith in the one that did have what it takes. You don't save yourself. He does all the saving. He died for you. He knew that you were sinful. He knew you wouldn't handle your sin problem all on your own. So Jesus Christ died for you, was buried for you, and resurrected for you. He had victory over sin and death. He made salvation available to you as a free gift. And then after you get saved, you enter the same battle the rest of us are in. That is a battle for freedom. You say, what is that? Obedience to the Word of God.
Yes.
If you're shocked at the sermon today, I apologize to you, but the problem is, I've told you what biblical freedom is.
Yes.
You've been tampered with society's definition of freedom.
Yes.
Let's bow our heads and close our eyes, every head bowed, every eye closed.